Hello and welcome to the 98th and final episode of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, a podcast featuring year-round foolhardiness. I'm Tom.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Eric.
And in case you didn't infer as much from our rather transparent introduction, today's episode is all about April Fool's jokes. This is, in fact, not our final episode by a long shot, by at least two episodes.
Gotta make it to that 100 mark.
Exactly. Low expectations set a low bar. But before we get into our discussion of April Fool's jokes, I think we should probably make a show announcement. Eric has decided to join us full time for the show, so welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, guys. Happy to do it. And I am pretty happy. The last two episodes had a lot of fun that I got to be on, and I'm really, really excited to keep going. So going to keep going.
Awesome. Well, how better to let you keep going than by letting you lead off with our weekly geekly roundups? What have you been up to, sir?
Well, first of all, I guess I'll start off with a purchase I made. I assume most of the people who are listening to the show have not been in my apartment. So I have to start off with a bit of a description. It's basically a studio apartment, but I sleep up in a loft, and it's a pretty high elevated loft, with a little wooden staircase that goes up one side, to get up there. The problem with it is there's a wall fixture with a light bulb, and the only switch to turn on that light bulb is at the top of the stairs. So when I go to bed, I'm basically just clambering up this really horrifyingly tiny wooden staircase to go to bed. So I decided to invest in the Lumen Bulb by a company called Taboo, which is the first to market Bluetooth light bulb. And I'm pretty happy with it. I know there have been other ones, you know, the Philips Hue comes to mind, but they use like kind of a Wi-Fi server and a base station to kind of work the whole thing. This one doesn't require any base station whatsoever. You literally plug it into the socket. There's an app for your phone where you can control the color, the brightness. You can set it on a timer. You can set it so that it's location aware so that when you walk into the house, it automatically turns on. You can have it wake you up in the morning. It's pretty nice. I like it. So I would recommend it. The only concerns I have with it is that because it's Bluetooth, every time you open the app, it has to reconnect to the bulb. So there's kind of a delay, like 4 or 5 seconds every time you open the app. But aside from that, it's not so bad. A little nerdy on my career front, for those who don't know, and since I guess this is my first official one, I'll just restate it. I'm a science teacher by trade, and I got to play around with some cool stuff this week, specifically a set of digital probes by a company called Vernier. They measure temperature. I have probes to measure force and motion. I have motion sensors, gas sensors. They hook to basically just USB. There's like a base station, and they just connect, and the software automatically knows what probe you've put in. It automatically charts any data. It's awesome. Loved playing around with them. Haven't really done anything major in the way of like true experiments with them yet, but I'm getting to that. But I do love just playing around with them so far. There's even a base station that gives off a Wi-Fi signal, so if you're using like an iOS device or a tablet, you can connect and get the data right there on the tablet wirelessly. It's pretty awesome. And finally, I have been packing for my trip because Thursday morning I leave for Boston for the NSTA conference, which is the National Science Teachers Association conference. And as boring as that may sound, it is not. It's actually one of the most fun things I get to do almost every year. I've been to places all around the country to do it. I've met awesome people doing it, which include the Mythbusters, Bill Nye, and it's a blast. And the vendor room is by far the greatest thing there. It might as well be like going to any other nerd con, except it's just all science toys. It's great. That's pretty much it for my week, aside from the fact that it's been April Fool's, and there's a lot of information to go over on that one, but we'll hold off on that one.
I gotta say right now, I'm a little jealous of your life, getting to go to nerdy science conventions.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. It's a lot of fun. You meet a lot of cool people. I get to sit in on an awesome Using Legos in Science conference seminar. So that'll be awesome. So a Lego seminar for science, which I'm excited about.
I restate my jealousy and toss it over to Brian before I go totally green. Brian, what have you been up to, sir?
I may actually make you jealous, too. Hopefully this is something that many people aspire to. I quit my job, and I'm going to pursue my dream of writing full time.
I hereby quit the podcast and hate you both. Goodbye.
I had been kind of planning to do that eventually, but something happened. A catalyst occurred, and I just decided to bump it up about 6 months. So I'm done with that, and I'm about one-third of the way through my first ebook in about 2 days' effort, so I'm pretty thrilled about that.
Wow, congratulations. So the iron is hot post-job and you are striking.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing what you can do when you have 8 extra hours to devote to it. I mean...
yes, indeed.
And, you know, I was driving an hour each way, so it was more like 10 hours a day. It eats it up, man. And if you can, I highly recommend you do pursue those dreams. So wish me luck, but I'm trying at least.
I do wish you luck, and I commend you. And I can't wait to sleep in tomorrow, since I'm just going to quit my job and pursue my dreams.
There you go, man. Apart from that, I attended Hatsume Fair at the Murakami Japanese Gardens and Museum last Saturday. It was a weekend event this year, but I only went Saturday. It's a little swampy down here still, so I got plenty of it in just the one day. Neat little event. It's more of a Japanese cultural thing than it is like an anime con, but there's still like all kinds of cosplay and, you know, samurai running around and all that fun stuff.
That's cool. And that whole facility is like a big traditional Japanese garden, right?
Yeah, it is. They have 60-year-old bonsai trees, and they have like official tea ceremonies, and apparently the people there are really angry if you say the least little thing about maybe their traditions are humorous, because I saw some people getting scowled at for making jokes about the tea ceremony.
It's a little rude to do that, though, isn't it?
You know, it is, but they're kids. I don't know. Kids are, at least in my expectations, most kids are rude, so you got to take it with a grain of salt.
Kids are terrible.
Do I honestly need to jump in on this one, or are we good?
You as might have some insights.
Yeah, as not teacher, only as a teacher, but if we go 12 years back, I did do a, you know, a nice year stint as a substitute teacher. And I think if you want to talk rudeness, anyone out there with a 2-year degree of any kind, go ahead and just substitute like one time. You're allowed to. That's all you need. And you'll feel better about any other kids you run into.
No, thanks.
No, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does that conclude your update, Brian?
One more thing, because I think this is just the funniest thing in the world. I've been playing Star Wars X-Wing miniatures more and more in the last couple of weeks, and I've been really looking forward to the latest release, the Imperial Aces. And I've just decided, since we're playing so much at the Adventure Game Store, that I'm going to get it from them, like, no matter what. And I cannot give that guy my money. It's just hilarious. I missed the initial shipment because I was actually up in MegaCon. So I was there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they hadn't arrived. I came back Monday, and they were completely sold out. And then the next shipment that he got arrived late one night, and some of the boxes were missing. So the box they were supposed to be in didn't come. And then when that box did come the next day, the actual product was left out of that box. And so I've been on this weird little... I'm not getting these ever, am I? Kick.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to paint my my existing TIE Interceptor red at this point.
Yeah, just modify it to be one of those. Nice. I like your spirit. That you are definitely freed from the shackles of convention after having quit your job, sir.
That was the goal.
Excellent. Is that it, then?
That is it.
Okay. Mine's really short and sweet. I spent the entire weekend at Disney, which I totally geek out about, playing a hell of a lot of the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom game, which is a card game where you walk around scanning cards into these little portals and attacking enemies. I think we have all played that at this point.
Yes, we have.
Yes. Actually, I introduced you to it, did I not, Eric?
You did.
Yeah. So that was fun. I played that, and they also have another like Pirates of the Caribbean game that we played, and that was also pretty cool. A lot of really neat little like mini animatronics going on with that. So that was really awesome. Definitely recommend you play that at night if you want to play that in the Magic Kingdom Park at Walt Disney World in nearby Orlando, Florida. Oh, I brought my 3DS with me at the urging of my friend and got a ton of street passes. I never thought to do that before, so got to get my street pass going. It was just a sort of metagaming within the park all day.
Now, do they still have the 10 pass like max out on that, or have they removed that limit?
I believe it's still 10 because I was processing 10 at a time. I wish they would remove it because
yeah.
I'd probably get a lot more, but I don't know. Maybe the system can only queue up so many at a time. Yeah, I advanced in all my little Street Pass games, and it was actually kind of cool. So did those two things, and oh, I guess starting today, I've been trying to catch them all, and not with Pokemon X or Y. I plunged headlong into the April Fool's Day inspired Google Maps Pokemon, what are we going to call it, promotion, game, what have you.
Where and
you
they had a name for it, and I can't remember actually off the top of my head what that name was now.
I'm calling it a massive time sink because I have been scouring the globe looking for Pokemon. Right. And if Nintendo paid them for this, it was money well invested because I've never been a big Pokemon like Mark. I've never really been super into it. But I really want to get Pokemon now. The urge to collect them all is like burning in me. So I guess that motivates tonight's discussion, which is all about our favorite kind of nerdy, geeky, or really just in general, April Fool's jokes. And before we sort of go around the room a few times discussing some of our favorites, I want to ask you guys, have you played the Pokemon game in Google Maps?
I have. I've got about 26 right now. And I was saying earlier, I've noticed kind of a link, and I think that if you go to cities on the real, obviously, Google Maps, real cities, that inspired the fake cities that are in each of the games. And the creators and producers of Pokemon are not quiet about that. They're pretty open in discussing which cities were their inspiration for each game. Those are the cities where I have been able to find them successfully so far. That's not to say they're not everywhere, but that's where I found them so far. By the way, the name is the Google Maps Pokemon Challenge.
Right, right, because the whole put-on was that if you succeeded in the challenge and caught all the Pokemon, you would enter some interview process to become Google's Pokemon master, right?
Yeah, exactly. Which is kind of like a nerd cred times two title to have. But
yeah, I would love it. If even some kind of like just booby prize from Google for winning this thing would be pretty sweet. Brian, have you played it at all?
Yeah, I have played it. Not a whole lot. I think I caught like 5, but I had my fun with it.
I'm up to like 50-something. That's out of 150, so I don't feel like I've accomplished much. I don't think I'm getting it hired by Google based on this. There's probably actually some pattern you're supposed to recognize in where the Pokemon are. And if you recognize it, that shows that you've got the smarts to work at Google.
Do you think that's it, or do you just think they're like trying to measure the insanity of human beings and how willing they are to scour the entire planet like frame by frame to get, yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. Like that they were just like, we'll just put them randomly all over the world, and we'll see what psychopath is willing to just scour every little spot in Google Maps to find this nonsense.
Yeah, they're actually, it's part of some kind of a psychological study they're doing, I'm sure.
It probably is. They're pretty keen on those.
Yeah, I mean, and it's linked to your Google profile, I'm sure, so it's just a matter of like, yeah, this guy's got a, he's a definite obsessive, let's market, like, collecting games to him. So yeah, I think it's a hit. I've had fun with it all day, and I'm not much of a phone gamer to speak of. But I spent a lot of time today when I probably could have been doing more productive things, chasing down stupid digital make-believe animals all around the digital representation of the world.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
I would like to point out you were chasing down make-believe animals.
Right, because these aren't the real Pokemon. Right.
Right.
Yeah. I've been fooled into chasing them, and they're not really the real fake monsters that I should be looking for.
Yeah. To be honest, my only concern with this particular April Fool's prank is that it's going to go away.
Or no!
It's going to go away.
They should just
I don't want it to go away. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like it if this was always around.
Well, they need to extend it.
Yeah, if you don't update the app, maybe you can keep it.
Yeah, I want to keep it forever. Once I catch the first batch, randomize them and let me go catch them again.
Yeah.
Well, they need to extend it to all the other Pokemon. Once you capture the first 150, they need to start doing the Emerald Green and the Pokemon Yellow and the Pokemon Quartz and the Pokemon Onyx and all of those releases.
Were there
like 800 now?
Yeah, but this is where I out myself as a super fan and say all the ones that I have found so far, only a handful have been from the original 150.
I thought it was only the 150. Wow, I didn't catch very many at all.
Yeah, there's some newfangled ones from what I can tell, too. Maybe they can just release them in batches of 150. How many Pokemon are there in existence? Do you guys have any idea without looking it up?
I think it was 650 last time I looked.
Well, anyway, this thing's a hit with me. I venture to say this might be my favorite April Fool's stunt because I actually got to participate in it. But let's go around the room and discuss some, and maybe I'll arrive at a new favorite. So I kind of launched in with this one, even though it's one we all experienced. Eric, why don't you go next? What was your favorite prank this year?
Well, I want to start off with the there are some classics that pop up every year. And if you're any part of the nerd geek community, whatever you want to call it, you've seen them over and over again. And I noticed you pointed one out, Tom, that falls into this category, and that is Firefly Returns via Netflix.
Yep.
This is an article that has been going around since 2011, and people just keep changing the date and reposting it. And the funny thing about the article is the article shows a Firefly disc in a Netflix envelope as if anybody gets their movies that way anymore. And people still buy in, like, yes, finally. Yeah, so that is definitely one of the recurring ones that I've seen year after year. And the other one I think is the most obvious, and that's Half-Life 3, which I've accepted we're not going to get. But I do appreciate the fact that people try to convince me now and then that we're going to get it. And I always expect it on April 1st, and sure enough, there it is. And I go, oh, look at that. Honestly, the best thing Valve could probably do at this point is announce the game on April 1st, because the buzz would be amazing, because no one would know what to do.
Right. They would be expecting another put on, and it would be a real deal.
Yeah, that would be one of my absolute favorites if that happened. Other than that, some really amazing favorites. I want to start with favorites that actually happened. For example, the Pokemon one, even though it was an April Fool's joke, it actually happened. You can actually play it. I mean, it's not exactly what they showed in the trailer, but you can mess with Pokemon in Google Maps. So it kind of is real. And the other one that turned out to be real, even though it is April Fool's based, is after 3 years, 3 years of waiting, the HomestarRunner.com page updated today.
Explain that. Have people been waiting with bated breath for an update and now it finally came, or what?
Yeah, basically. Like, HomestarRunner.com used to update every week, specifically for the Strong Bad emails. They did other cartoons all the time, and people were huge fans. I was a huge fan. And I think it started to die when Flash started to die, because they never really changed that format. So when iOS took over, let's say, for example, you couldn't even watch Homestar Runner on it. So I think that was kind of part of the nail in their coffin, although there's an interview with them by one of our favorite sites, of course, Kotaku, with the creators of Homestar Runner, and they cite a bunch of different reasons and other projects they're working on and things like that. But it did update to date, and there were some weird ones. So the question now is, it was an April Fool's prank to say, hey, Homestar Runner updated, only to find out that it actually updated as an April Fool's joke, and who knows when it will update again. So I thought that was kind of amazing. Not only was there the joke that it was going, you know, an update, and everyone mostly said, yeah, right, they didn't update. And then there was actually an update. But now everyone's wondering whether or not it's actually going to keep happening.
Interesting. That's a good one.
Yeah, I loved that one. That was one of my favorites, only because I really was a huge fan, and I missed it. So it was nice to see that. And I'm trying to take it with a grain of salt and say, okay, I'm not going to get hyped and think it's coming back. But yeah, I hope it does. Some other ones that I loved, and this was one, for example, like in the tech world, was Orbotics, the company that makes, and some of you may know this, the Sphero robotic ball, which if you ever need to see this thing, just go to Brookstone. They always show it off. It's this little white ball. You control it via an app on your phone. It's Bluetooth connected. And basically, it's a remote control ball. It rolls around in all sorts of directions, and it's easy to control, and it's a lot of fun to play with. And there are games you can play if other people have them. There are AR games you can play on your own. It's a lot of fun. The thing changes colors and stuff, so you can play tag. It's pretty cool. But they released a video for a new product today, which I don't think really fooled anyone, but I just still thought it was hilarious, called the Selfie Bot.
Yes.
And since this is an audio podcast, I'll describe this thing. It's basically this white orb that's a little flat on the top with a propeller on the bottom, so this thing hovers. It's got a camera on one side, and it just follows you around and looks at your face, and when you pose stupidly at it, it snaps a picture of you to capture selfies whenever you want it to without having to do any work. Basically an automated selfie machine. The video is hilarious. If you go onto YouTube and just go ahead and Google or search Selfie Bot, it'll probably be the first thing that comes up. Watch the video, it's great. There were a few other ones. Some of my favorites now. We're going to get into the video world. First of all, Hulu. Hulu sent out an email today announcing one of their new exclusive content videos. They said they were doing an exclusive spinoff, and they kind of teased at it. And the exclusive spinoff is a Hannibal Lecter cooking show. And they actually released a trailer for it and everything. It's pretty funny. Yeah, so I thought it was amusing. Based, again, on the current Hannibal TV series, not on the original movies. It would have been nice to see Anthony Hopkins in it, but I'll take what I can get. And then these two were my favorites. And I do have some other ones, but I really want to give you guys a chance. I have to talk about these two because they're amazing. Both came from Netflix. Basically, Netflix released two exclusive content movies today. The name of these two movies are Sizzling Bacon, which is literally a video 20 minutes long of sizzling bacon.
Yes.
And a 73-minute long video called Rotisserie Chicken, which is literally a spinning rotisserie chicken. But that's not the best part. The best part is the descriptions they gave these videos. So here's the sizzling bacon description. I'm just going to go ahead and read it as is. The boundaries of TV and time go up in smoke with this tasteful, memento-style puzzle that takes the viewer out of the fire and into the frying pan. So that's the description for sizzling bacon. The description for rotisserie chicken, and that's the title, is, in the tradition of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, witness a searing, chronology-defying return to one's origins that stokes the imagination. Keep in mind, these are videos of cooking bacon and cooking chicken.
It's actually perfect. They use terms that apply to those processes.
Yeah.
As it were. That's good.
I thought it was really amusing.
Yes, those are excellent.
And you can actually watch these, by the way. If you go on Netflix, these really exist.
Definitely going to put that on my to-do list near the absolute top.
And if you're going on Netflix on your computer, one of the next best things to do with these is read the reviews.
Oh, God.
Because people got really into it. Like, I think the top review on, I want to say it was the Sizzling Bacon one, was just words that just said, like, provocative, powerful, and divine. Yeah, so those were my major ones. I got a couple others to talk about, but I'm going to give you guys a chance to jump in here.
Yeah. Okay, cool. An awesome first round from you, Eric. You clearly have done your homework, unlike me. Brian, what about you? Got some favorites?
I've got a couple built up, but I think my all-time favorite, and this one wasn't very widespread because I guess it was just in the reading circles, but it's so good. It's the story that George Martin has signed a deal to release exactly one copy anonymously into the wild of the last Song of Ice and Fire book. In order to give you that true Westeros feeling, you have to kill the guy who has the book to read it.
Yes, that's beautiful.
It says, I want people to know, to really feel what it's like to live in Westeros. The one copy of Winds of Winter will be beautifully crafted, a piece of art made with Lannister gold filigree, dragonhide, and ink supplied from Stark blood.
Love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I gotta say, I haven't seen that one. I'm gonna have to look that one up.
And one I'm sure no one has seen. I actually have just kind of a favorite place to get music around here. There's this little CD Trader store. It's actually called CD Trader. It's not just a description. But I've been going to it since I was like, 15? I don't know. A long time. And they do like rare stuff, you know? Like they sometimes get good music or good video games, and they deal in vinyl and all this kind of stuff. So every once in a while, they'll post on their Facebook, like, oh, look at this awesome game we just got in, you know, $50, come and get it. And it'll be like an old rare PlayStation 1 black box game, and everyone will, you know, rush down there to get it first. I'm sorely upset that I keep missing the Brigadine that comes in. I'll score that game one of these days. But today, he posted a really convincing video. It was a picture first, and everyone said, bullshit, that's Photoshop. And then he posted a video of someone having traded in the World Championship NES cartridge.
Oh, right. Nice.
And what he did was, instead of Photoshopping it, because so many people said Photoshop, he printed out a label and put it on over another one, and he waved it around in the video and, like, showed all, like, you know, put his hand over it. He's like, see, no Photoshop there. It's real. I'm holding it.
Wow.
That was really killer. And I wanted to believe that one so much.
What is the worth of that one? How many thousands of dollars is that worth if you can get your hands on it, or millions?
I think it's like $3,000, so it's not beyond the scope of reality, but it's out there. Not the gold one, not the single winner, but like the white ones that were used in the regional playoffs.
Right.
But still, yeah, it would have been a huge score for whoever found it.
That's an awesome joke. That's an awesome prank. So a little local April Fool's humor from CD Trader. And where what town is that in our little South Florida constellation?
I think that's actually Hollywood.
Nice. Hollywood, Florida, home of, well, us, really. That's kind of where that's kind of our hometown growing up.
Yeah. Florida's kind of the hotbed for anything that's in the news and absurd anyway, so it's kind of to be expected.
Yes, absolutely. That is the personality of our neighbors, I guess I would say.
Yeah, and real quick, I'd like to tell people that since we're all in Florida here, even Floridians kind of love that fact.
What, that we're crazy?
That we're insane and that our news is just bananas.
Yes and no. I could do without some of the stories, I must confess, like the face eating and people getting trampled at the Ultra Music Festival and that sort of thing. But yeah, for the most part, I like the zaniness of it a little bit.
Alligators in the swimming pool is cool. Face eating, not so much.
Yeah, decidedly less so.
And I think that brings us to the point that it would be really difficult for any Florida news outlet to do an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, because it would be believed, like, it's not fair, because you say something zany, I can't believe you fell for, oh, well, you're in Florida, it kind of probably could have happened.
Yeah, that's to be expected. I think people would just nod at it like, oh, that's interesting, and move on.
Oh, that strange thing happened. Sure, yeah. I can buy it. Oh, I fooled you, it didn't really happen. Oh, well, that's not really fair, because it's plausible here. You guys got another one?
Yeah, Toshiba, I think it was Toshiba, released like this cell phone glove. Well, basically there were two cell phone glove ones, and I guess one was the HTC thing that looks like the power glove, called the Glove. And Toshiba had one, and I forget what it's called, but it has like a camera in the finger and all this other stuff.
Oh, it's supposed to be like a glove that lets you like film with your finger?
Yeah, it had a bunch of, here it is. It was called the, maybe you can go, called the Digit, the Toshiba Digit. It has a DSLR camera in it, a media streaming box, a gaming console, a home theater system, an MP3 player, and an ultrasound machine built into a glove.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, there was the Sony protein fiber fuel.
That was the one where it was like, what, food or something that lets you...
Yeah, like a food charged battery. I don't know exactly how it was supposed to work, because I'm sure they didn't either.
Was it meant for you, though? I mean, was it supposed to be food to charge you up, or?
No, it was to charge your devices. There was the Beard Swipe app. I don't know if you're familiar with the Beard Swipe app.
Saw that.
Yeah. Oh, there was also the Cheetos cologne.
Oh, God.
Called Cheeto, like E-A-U at the end. And they went with the prank so far as to actually make the product, but only ship it out to sites that would review it, and it actually smells like Cheetos.
Well, I guess I'll throw in one. Well, first of all, I'll mention that the Firefly Netflix prank was new to me. You mentioned that was an old one, Eric, but they got me with it. So reposting it pays off for those who don't pay attention. I guess the discs should have been a giveaway, but I actually do know a handful of people that still get their discs mailed to them from...
Yeah, and I think there are ones that are always rehashed, but I've seen that one a lot. I think that one and the BBC headline, the Earth Destroyed headline, are the two that kind of keep making the rounds.
So yeah, there was that one, and I guess I'll have to pay more attention for the Half-Life 3 prank that comes out every year. I agree with you that they should do the release on that date just to kind of, whoa, zing people with it. Be like a double fool.
Yeah, it would be perfect.
In addition, there was something that I thought was kind of cool. I went to the Bing search engine site. I try to be a rebel and use the offerings of small underdog companies like Microsoft from time to time instead of Google. And I was greeted by an opera singing bird. You know, Bing always has like that kind of panel display with some kind of a photo in it.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little bird. It started animating and then it started singing like opera music. And it had a link that said something like, this bird could be found in this strange tree. And then you clicked on it, and it took you to a Bing search for the spaghetti tree hoax of 1957, which I guess was a hoax they pulled, an April Fool's hoax from way back when, where they basically said, it's a bumper crop of spaghetti this year in the whatever region that spaghetti is grown.
That's another one I'm going to have to look up, yeah.
That was quite good. I recommend, if you are going to look it up, going through the Bing Singing Bird portal. That was good. And another really awesome one, and I will thank Brian for pointing this one out to me, was the Optimus Prime Titanfall mashup. Was it called Primefall or
Optimus Prime? Yeah, they didn't really go with a name. Titanfall Prime.
Titanfall Prime works. Basically, Optimus Prime, like, enters through a Titanfall intro routine and just starts destroying everything in sight. And it even goes so far as to show you as a pilot getting pulled into Optimus Prime and you're seeing out his, like, dual windows as you would expect inside his semi-truck.
That's great.
Torso or whatever. It was great. It was awesome. I thought that was a pretty clever mashup.
It was better than all of the Michael Bay films put together.
I don't disagree with that statement.
I think they could have just put that in theaters, that trailer. You would have walked in, seen like a minute trailer for downloadable content that wasn't coming, and people would have left happier than they probably did for the Transformer movies.
I don't disagree. That was really cool. And I thought the way they did Prime and kind of made him fit into the game, it was convincing. In fact, I almost wonder if people are going to clamor for some kind of a zany DLC package. Although I don't know that the licensing would be there for that. Does EA own Transformers?
I don't know who has the game rights to Transformers, actually.
Who made the games?
I don't remember. It might have been EA that did, like, The Fall of Cybertron, those games. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up. Maybe this could happen. But those are pretty much mine. Oh, I will say that I have sort of been promoting my own little April Fool's joke by word of mouth. I have mentioned in the past, maybe on the show, that I've got some wishful thinking surrounding a certain potential acquisition by Disney. So I went around today telling everybody that Disney bought Nintendo and Mario Land in Walt Disney World was a go.
I'm okay with this.
Everybody was okay with it, but I felt kind of like a jerk because most people are totally okay with that idea.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell you guys, so I assume your reactions would have been more or less the same.
Yeah, I think we all had kind of April Fool. I mean, we were literally researching some April Fool stuff today. So I think we had it in our brains enough where I'll admit that a lot of attempted April Fool's jokes were thrown my way, and I didn't fall for any of them. I was really on point this year.
Might you have fallen for that one, you think?
You know, I think I may have on any other year, but because we were specifically kind of researching the topic, it was just so in my brain that I would, like, even my students tried to do little things to prank me, like, oh, there's a cockroach on your foot. Like, no, there isn't.
Brian, you think you would have been the same way because you're in, like, April Fool's research mode? You would not have fallen for it?
I think I would have wanted it to be true so much that I wouldn't have filtered, you know? Yeah. Same thing with the cartridge.
Yeah, you just wanted it to be the case.
I was going to say, that brought me to a question that I kind of had anyway, which is, of all of the April Fool jokes that you saw this year, which one did you actually want to be true? Which was the one where you were like, I would be okay with that, let that happen, aside from the one we just discussed, I suppose.
I kind of wanted the Firefly one to be true, and I feel bad even mentioning it because it's so old. But I was like, whoa, it's finally happening! And so I guess I joined years worth of people who have already had that sentiment wash over them.
Yeah, and I think we'll see that one again next year. As long as people still keep wanting it, that's just going to keep happening. I think that's the same situation with Half-Life 3. As long as people still want it, they're going to keep joking about it.
What about you, Brian? Which one were most tugged at your, like, nerd strings, let's say?
This one's way nerdy. I'm going to get made fun of by you guys. I saw an order form for Rosetta Stone Klingon.
I did see that one.
That would be actually pretty awesome. I might invest in that just to learn that non-existent, completely useless language. Wow.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and admit that the one that I wish was true is the only one where I felt the company really kind of put their foot in their own mouth. And not in a way where they offended anybody, but where they've kind of just stuck it to themselves so badly, where we kind of already feel this way about the company, and they just kind of handed us more ammunition. And I wanted it to be true just so I can be like, see, told you so. And that is Domino's had their April Fool's joke, and that was that they were going to have an edible pizza box. And I want to point out that even the non-edible pizza box already tastes better than a Domino's pizza.
Now that's harsh, Eric. Everybody knows that Domino's pizza tastes slightly better than a cardboard box.
I'm not so sure anymore. And here's the thing. Like, I've taken a friend to a... We were in a strip plaza, and we went past a Domino's. I wasn't taking them to Domino's, but there was a Domino's in the plaza, and they were starving. And they're like, I'm going to Domino's. And I was like, that's your fault for even saying that. And they were like, I don't remember it being bad. I'm like, it's really terrible. Trust me, it's horrendous. You're not going to want it. They went in. They got the Domino's. They ate it outside while I went in another store. And since that day... that person has been nothing but apologetic for doubting me.
Domino's. So you're suggesting that they wouldn't really have to release an edible box. People could just eat the box and be no worse for it, since they're already eating Domino's.
Right. So my point was, if they had made an edible box, at least people would kind of have an idea of what they were getting into. Oh. Yeah, I'm eating a box. I get it. Like, if there was one other one I wish was true, it was the one where they announced that Lil Bub, the internet sensation cat, was actually a twin. And they'd been using both twins, like, in pictures. And so basically they unannounced that there was a twin, and now they finally let out, okay, we've been using these twin cats. So there were two of them, which would just make the world a doubly better place. I love Lil Bub. I really do. Every time I see that cat's face, it makes my day that much better.
I like them better in the old Bubble Bobble game, but... I kid, of course.
Of course.
Well, I think we've kind of gone over some of our favorites today. Any other closing remarks or really, like, standout April Fool's jokes before we get serious for the remainder of the year?
Facebook buys Steam.
Facebook buys Steam? Was that a thing?
I saw that.
Meaning what? Like, you download a Facebook app or something? Or
Steam, the platform?
The download service, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they had, like, all kinds of likes all over it and pictures of different games and, like, Farming Friend Collector 3000. And...
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Sort of an invasion of Steam by Facebook games.
Farmville 2.
Please tell me it's called Electric Boogaloo, please.
No.
Wasted opportunity.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the only things I would add on to this are, one, that I also saw articles that I wasn't aware that April Fool's was an international holiday. I thought it was kind of specifically American, but sure enough, there have been April Fool's jokes going on all around the world from news outlets from around the country. I'll give you one example. And this one, apparently, maybe the rest of the world isn't as aware as their media is. For example, in Switzerland... one of the news outlets reported that there was going to be a cat tax. And the purpose of the cat tax was to help protect the country's songbirds and their songbird population. They did not announce that this was an April Fool's joke in any way. And people apparently got pissed to the point where they had to offer a retraction and an apology. So it is going on in other parts of the world. And I had no idea. I thought this was an exclusively American holiday.
Well, think again. It is international, because it turns out that all countries... actually have an April 1st.
They do, and apparently all countries have an innate desire to be a dick every once in a while.
Every year on April 1st, in fact, yes, correct.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I want to point out, and I guess it's nerdy enough because it involves social media, that I did my own April Fool's prank today. And I want to point out that it's one that I've done before, but usually it was directed at one person or another, and just this year I decided to just plant it on social media, including a picture. And then did not do anything to backtrack on it for hours and hours. In fact, I didn't even really check on it. And that is, all I wrote was, I'm going to be a daddy, and posted a picture of a sonogram. Mind you, I'm not dating anyone currently. I mean, like, exclusively, or, you know, that this would happen. And that brought me to my point, which was, people were congratulating me left and right. I got congratulatory text messages. Of course, there were those people who questioned it, and some people private messaged me, like, is this real? But here's the thing. It didn't occur to anyone that, one, apparently they don't know me very well, and it gives me an idea of how little people actually know about you on social media that you think you're friends with, maybe. That, one, people were totally okay with the idea that I was having a baby totally unaware of what the circumstances of that situation may be. And two, if they did know me and they still fell for it, and there were a few, they assumed that I would be totally okay with just knocking up some random person.
Well, yeah, that's fine. In this day and age, Eric, people don't judge based on those things. Well, however a kid gets here, a kid gets here.
Yeah, they just want more kids. That's it. Apparently everyone's just excited when there are more kids.
They just want you to know the joy of parenthood, however that comes to be the case, Eric.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got out of it.
Nice. So a perfect way to round things out with a social media April Fool's joke that suckered people in. Well done.
Yeah, yeah. It went pretty well at first. And then I saw it took kind of a skewed tangent. And then I was like, I suppose I should retract this and did a follow-up post, you know.
All right. Well, I guess that sort of wraps things up for this episode. I will tell you, dear listeners, that I'm not fooling when I say that you should subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or whatever other pod-catching software you happen to use and rate us favorably, write us a great review, and so on. And if streaming is more to your liking, check us out on Stitcher, a most excellent streaming service.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, find us on Google+, and if you really want to get into it, join the private Facebook group, which is just meant for inner discussions and deeper meaning, all of the deep topics we discussed tonight.
And be sure to check out our website at nerdstravaganza.com. If you feel like sending us any hate mail, commentary, if you just want to tell us how ridiculous this all is, which I agree, and that's why I love it, please drop us a line at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
And with all of that self-promotion out of the way, there's only one thing to say.
April Fools.